For believers, it's the gospel that gives us joy and strength for each day. We find that gospel, that good news, throughout the Bible, both in the New and the Old Testament. Isaiah proclaimed that gospel in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy when he said about Jesus, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're glad that you've joined us. Each weekday afternoon, we come to you with gospel-centered, biblical teaching. Here's our host, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gospel Talk. I'm glad that you've joined me. This week on Gospel Talk, we're considering a practical issue of the Christian faith, an issue that also has doctrinal implications and doctrinal background, you could say. And it has to do with how we regard ourselves as Christians. Are Christians sinners or not? And to begin with, I'd like you to listen to just the opening words of a prayer from the time of the Reformation, the Great Reformation of the 16th century. And the prayer begins like this: "Heavenly Father, eternal and merciful God, we acknowledge and confess before your divine majesty that we are poor, wretched sinners." Well, that's pretty heavy language, isn't it? Poor, wretched sinners. Is that really what we are? Is that really what the Bible teaches about us? And, you know, you can also look elsewhere among the Reformed confessions. You'll find the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about the Lord's Prayer. When the Lord's Prayer teaches us, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Heidelberg Catechism explains that, "Do not impute to us, wretched sinners, any of our transgressions, nor the evil which still clings to us." Are we really wretched sinners, or is that just a bit over the top? Well, I think you know that there are many today who would say that that is totally over the top, that that kind of language is uncalled for, that Christians are not sinners, certainly not wretched sinners, and that certainly we don't have to go to God every day to confess our sins to him and seek his forgiveness. We simply don't need to do that. We were forgiven once before, and now we don't have to ask for his forgiveness anymore. Well, you know what? These are not abstract theological questions. These are real questions that people ask and that people struggle with. You know, on the one hand, like I said, there are those who reject that kind of language of speaking about believers as being wretched sinners. They believe that sinners are the wicked, that sinners are the unbelievers, those who are under God's curse. But that's not us. Sure, we sin, but we are not sinners. We have been redeemed by Christ. We are a new creation. You know, there are many popular Christian writers today who call this idea of Christians being sinners, they call it a big mistake. Or they even go so far as to call it a big lie. We find that, for instance, with the popular writer John Eldridge in his book Wild at Heart. He calls this idea that Christians are sinners a big lie. Joyce Meyer would be another example of a writer who says pretty much the same thing. So on the one hand, we have those who say, no, we can't say that sinners are Christian, or Christians are sinners, excuse me. But on the other hand, we have those who have sensitive hearts and consciences. They're all too aware of their unworthiness before a holy God. They know that they sin, that they have sinned, that they keep on sinning, and that they are sinners. Their conscience tells them so. And this awareness that they have makes them doubt and question and wonder. They lack in assurance, and they feel burdened when they hear words like poor, wretched sinners. For all these people, and for the rest of us too, it's important that we get these matters straight. Because I want you to see this week on Gospel Talk that what's at stake here is not merely an abstract point of theology. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about our only comfort in life and death, and how we live here and now before God, how we experience the gospel in our daily lives. Well, you know, first off, I'd like to begin with a bit of a historical overview of this question. We're not the first ones who've been considering these questions. These things have been discussed by Christians for over 2,000 years, over the last 2,000 years. However, with the coming of the Reformation, there was finally a wide consensus on the answers to these questions, at least among those who took the Bible seriously, who held to the principle of the Bible alone, sola scriptura. And beginning with Martin Luther, the churches of the Reformation, the first Protestant churches, held that man is at the same time justified and a sinner. And there was a Latin expression for that. It was simul justus et peccator. Simul justus et peccator. At the same time, justified and a sinner. Simul justus et peccator. Luther and the other reformers simply went back to the Bible. They studied what the Bible has to say about this issue. And they came to this consensus by carefully reading the Bible, studying it, and they especially studied the letter to the Romans. And we're going to get to that tomorrow. However, with the passage of time, eventually this consensus that man is at the same time justified and a sinner was called into question. During the 17th century, a movement arose in Europe that was known as Pietism. In 16th century Protestantism, a lot of emphasis was placed on the doctrine of justification, God declaring a person to be right with him, what God does for the believer outside of the believer. However, beginning in the 17th century, certain voices were heard that placed more emphasis on sanctification, what goes on in the believer's life and the believer's obedience to God, living a Christian life. Philip Jakob Spener was one of those voices. Spener lived from 1635 to 1705, and he was a Lutheran pastor in Germany. And technically, he said that he held to the Reformation doctrine of simul justus et peccator, that man is at the same time justified and a sinner. But he undermined it with what we could call an idealistic view of sanctification. Spener said that true Christians could not commit sin. They could have sin, but they could not willfully commit sin. It's kind of a strange distinction if you think about it, but that was the distinction that Philip Jakob Spener made. According to Spener, true Christians may have sin, but they are not sinners. And that idea became widely accepted in European pietistic circles. And pietism was one of the influences on the development of Methodism in England. John Wesley, well-known figure, he came to believe that Christians may reach a stage in their spiritual development where they do not sin. John Wesley lived from 1703 to 1791, so we're still talking about the 18th century here. He believed that Christians may reach a stage in their development spiritually where they do not sin. And the key was that Wesley defined sin as willfully and intentionally disobeying God. Now, the interesting thing is that Wesley himself did not believe that he had reached this level of perfection, but instead he was plagued by self-doubt and by questions. It has to be noted that Wesley did not deny that believers have a struggle within them between the flesh and the spirit. He maintained that there was such a struggle, and he insisted that the denial of that struggle was a novel and dangerous doctrine. However, that didn't guard him against questioning the doctrine of simul justus et peccator, at the same time justified and a sinner. Writing about justification, he says, and I quote, "It does by no means imply that God judges us contrary to the real nature of things, that he esteems us better than we really are, or believes us righteous when we are unrighteous." Through this sort of ambiguity, to say it charitably, the ground was being prepared for the widespread denial that Christians are at the same time justified and sinners. Now, John Wesley held a doctrine of justification that was problematic. He denied the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. He denied what Martin Luther called the great exchange, or the wondrous exchange, that Christ has taken all our sin upon himself, and that God has placed all the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us and credited it to our account. All of our sin is credited to Christ. All of Christ's righteousness is credited to us. This exchange taking place, the imputation. According to Wesley, this notion of justification, he said, is a legal fiction. Well, that idea didn't stay in Europe. Eventually, it made its way to America and found roots during the Second Great Awakening. One of the central figures of the Second Great Awakening was Charles Finney. And his explicitly Pelagian theology has been an endless source of mischief in American Christianity. Pelagianism, of course, is the idea that man and God cooperate for salvation. Under the influence of Methodism, Finney followed in Wesley's footsteps, and he denied justification by the imputation of Christ's righteousness. He said that that's absurd. It's nonsensical. And according to Finney, such a doctrine would give no incentive for personal holiness. If it's all been done for you, why would you want to be holy? Why would you want to live in God's ways? You can see that Finney had a very practical bent. And Finney believed that if they will it, Christians can perfectly obey God in this life and thereby achieve justification. Not receive it as a gift, but actually achieve it for themselves. And he went so far as to say that obedience to God is a condition of justification, and that no one can be justified as long as he has any sin remaining in him. With respect to simul justus et peccator, that doctrine that says that man is at the same time justified and a sinner, Finney declared that this doctrine, quote, has slain more souls, I fear, than all the universalism that ever cursed the world. And so if we're to look for a source for the modern denial of the Protestant teaching, the historic Protestant teaching, that believers are both justified and sinners, it would seem that Charles Finney is our man. And the important thing to realize is that this denial was and is part of an integrated system of theology. The denial of this doctrine has a theological development, and it has serious implications. It grew out of problems with the historic Protestant doctrine of justification, specifically with the imputation of the righteousness of Christ. The question is the righteousness that functions in our justification our own righteousness or that of another? Finney was a Pelagian, so he said, no, the righteousness in our justification has to be our own righteousness, our own intrinsic righteousness. But historic Protestant Christianity has always said, no, the righteousness that justifies us before God is the righteousness of another. It is the righteousness of Christ. And we're going to look at that further tomorrow, and I do hope you'll join me as we continue looking at this very interesting and important topic. Until then, may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
You've been listening to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Our prayer is that this broadcast has been of benefit to you, shining gospel light on your daily path. This broadcast comes to you courtesy of the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. The Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church warmly welcomes visitors each Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. We're located at the corner of King and Mackenzie in Abbotsford. You can find more information about the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church at our website, www.abbotsfordchurch.com. Again, that website is www.abbotsfordchurch.com. You can also write for more information or let us know if this program has encouraged you in some way. Write to Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, V2Z1B3. That address again, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, BC, V2Z1B3. You can also call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Email us at gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Thanks for listening today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. Stay tuned tomorrow morning for more biblical teaching with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace. That's tomorrow morning at 8:30 here on KARI 550 AM.